Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Legal Line Show here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Scott Daniels. Good to be back, broadcasting live from the media mega center of the world that is New York City. Been a couple weeks, and boy, has a lot of things transpired over these couple weeks. A lot of legal complexities, a lot of legal drama, a lot of good stuff and a lot of bad stuff for some people, but I have to admit it has been a very interesting couple weeks, and tonight's show was supposed to be a big one. We had lined up tonight, Mr. Bernie Parrish was going to join us for about 10, 15 minutes. He just called me right before the show, unfortunately did have to cancel. However, I am going to try to line him up next week. So think of this show as kind of like a promo for Mr. Bernie Parrish. For those of you who don't know, Bernie Parrish is a former NFL great, played back in about the 50s and 60s, was drafted by the Cleveland Browns in 1958, played in the NFL from 59 to 66. Some notables was that he was in the Pro Bowl in 60 and 63, played on that 64 championship team where the Cleveland Browns defeated the Baltimore Colts 27-0. He is also the acclaimed author, They Call It a Game, in one of the most controversial books on football in the NFL, for that matter. That book came out in 1971, was a bestseller. It was controversial in that it brought to light some of the rarities and realities of the NFL, and mainly pointing to the economics and the politics of the game. So Mr. Parrish did call me just before. Unfortunately, I apologize. He will not be joining us tonight, but hopefully we can get him on next week. I do have a lot to ask him, so we will hopefully get that out next week. And really, the reason he was coming on, just to get to a little bit of the show breakdown, the reason he was coming on is that there was just a lawsuit recently filed by a former Nebraska Cornhusker football player, Sam Keller. He has brought a class action lawsuit against EA Sports and the NCAA, claiming the improper use of college athletes' images and likeness. He basically claimed that the NCAA and EA Sports, the video game maker, was using the likeness and the players' images without permission. Obviously, the NCAA and EA Sports are denying these allegations, but this has hit the headlines, and it's becoming a major, major suit because of the possible ramifications of this suit. So I'm going to get into some of those legal issues further down in the show. We'll also talk about the similarity of this lawsuit to the lawsuit that Mr. Parrish and a bunch of the retired players were involved in, dealing with the same issue in EA Sports using or video game makers using the likeness and images of retired players. That lawsuit, interestingly enough, was won by the retired players. There's an appeal in the works, obviously, but that's a small victory for the retired players and possibly might have set a precedent which could lead to an interesting ruling here in this new Sam Keller lawsuit against EA Sports and the NCAA. But some of the allegations are very interesting. We're talking conspiracy and, you know, all sorts of juicy stuff here. So I'll get to some of that. I'm also going to talk about a story that has been developing for some time now, but making major headway now. And the NFL has kind of stuck their head in a while ago, but even more so today, involving the NFL's opposition to sports gambling in Delaware. The officials in Delaware have been pushing for sports gambling for some time now to erase some of the deficit there in the state of Delaware. Interestingly enough, here in this story, Delaware happens to be one of four states, along with Nevada, Montana, and Oregon, that can actually have sports gambling. They were not part of a federal federal regulations set down in 1992 banning sports gambling from mainly every state except for those four. So Delaware, actually just today, the Senate of Delaware just passed the law to allow, or just passed the bill to allow gambling, sports gambling in the state of Delaware, which essentially means that people in Delaware can now place bets on football, college basketball, any kind of sporting event inside their racetracks where you know other types of gambling take place, such as slot machines and horse betting, stuff like that. So it's a very big case, and for some reason the NFL is absolutely opposed to it. Not quite sure why, but I'll get more into that as we get further down into the show. Some of the other things I might drop a little opinions on involve Manny Ramirez and steroids. You know, in my mind, almost a non-issue at this point because nothing really surprises me. Yes, Manny's one of the greatest hitters of our time. But you know what? With the multitude of players taking steroids today, it's not surprising to me at the least. So I'll give a little opinion on that. Maybe talk a little Roger Clemens, who's just came out and once again denied his steroid use, but did it in kind of a fascinating way, joining Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio. So. It's a very interesting time in sports and for the legal world. Lawsuits continue to run rampant with the economy struggling as it is. There's a lot of things going on. So, once again, my name is Scott Daniels. You are listening to the Legal Line Show here on Blog Talk Radio. This show is brought to you by NFLDraftBible.com. You can always check out my blog on NFLDraftBible.com. Go to the bottom of the screen, hit the Legal Line. That's where you will find my columns covering all the legal topics in sports today, or at least trying to. I'm a litigator here in New York City, so I do know a little bit about the law. And I do apologize that Mr. Bernie Parrish was supposed to join us tonight. He has since canceled, but we are going to try to get him on later in the week. I did speak with him, and you know, hopefully we can get him on later in the week. I mean, talk about an interesting guy, Bernie Parrish. You know, somebody who's played in the league. Albeit he's played many years ago, back in the late 50s and 60s. But you know, somebody who knows how the league operated back then. I really wanted to get to the core of his opinion on how the league has evolved over the years, and it's. Very interesting stuff, because as we all know, NFL has become very, very popular, if not the most popular sport in America. There's no question about that. And he's got some interesting viewpoints. And you know, if you read his book, They Call It a Game, you know, that certainly was some extreme opinions by Mr. Parrish. So hopefully we'll get him on next week. That's all I have to say about that. So I do apologize, but you know, hopefully we will we'll get him on. But you know, not to drag this out anymore. I want to get right down to it. Getting back to the first topic I wanted to discuss today is the lawsuit filed against Electronic Arts, also known as EA Sports. Those are the guys who make Madden and NCAA 2009 and NBA. You know, they're a billion-dollar industry, and they are one of the biggest video game developers out there. So basically what happened was former Nebraska Cornhusker Sam Keller filed a class action lawsuit. And to those of you who don't know, I'll give you the legality of a class action. It is a lawsuit brought on behalf of a class of people. That class has to be certified by a judge. And as long as there is a class, and in this particular case, the class will be basically all college athletes that were somewhat portrayed in these video games by EA Sports. So we're talking about thousands of athletes here that could have been portrayed. Class members have the option of joining the class or not joining the class, but I have a feeling that there's going to be a significant amount of people here, and that's why I think that the suit, you know, has drawn some media attention. The allegations here are somewhat staggering. You know, basically, It's, as I said, it's a class action lawsuit claiming, well, it's against EA Sports and the NCAA, claiming that the athletes' images and likeness were used without permission. Now, what does that mean, essentially? The images and likeness. Now, EA Sports, if you buy the game, the names aren't automatically programmed onto the game. What I have heard, I've never played the game myself as far as college football goes, but what I have heard and spoken to some people about, that you can actually, as the game player, can program the name in there. Now, what the suit is premised on is that, let's take, for example, a guy like Tim Tebow, quarterback for Florida, the starting quarterback for Florida on the actual game. Apparently his abilities are way higher than, say, the starting quarterback for North Texas. So that kind of goes to the premise of the lawsuit, in that's how EA Sports was using the likeness, because you have a guy like Tim Tebow, although his name's not being used, he has incredible ability to run the ball, to throw the ball, just an all-around great quarterback, and the fact that the individual game player can program the name into the game after they purchase it, allows gamers to use that player's identity in their game. So now, some of these specifics of the case, the NCAA actually prohibits the commercial licensing of current NCAA athletes' names, pictures, likeness. So what that's saying is, the NCAA is saying you can't have a commercial or use Tim Tebow holding a Gatorade and saying, buy our product because Tim Tebow drinks it. That would violate NCAA regulations. So the reason that Sam Keller and his legal team have decided to bring in the NCAA is because, and here's where the allegations get pretty juicy, Keller and his legal team are alleging a conspiracy between the NCAA and EA Sports to profit. And now, we're not talking chump change here. Sam Keller and this class action, they're seeking to recoup profits from these games, and we're talking about millions of dollars here. This is a video game industry. Again, I said it's a billion-dollar industry, and there's no question that EA Sports has made a lot of money, and the NCAA has certainly made a lot of money off of being able to use the college names and the college logos. So, keep an eye out on this suit. I certainly will. It's in the very early stages. One of the first things that's going to happen in every lawsuit, obviously before trial, this isn't TV, but we are going to have to, see what happens in discovery. And in discovery, it's always an interesting phase where millions and millions of documents are exchanging. Both sides have to produce certain things. Depositions are going to be taken. And it's going to be interesting to see what kinds of agreements the NCAA had with EA Sports and how much money was involved. Because, I think they do have a valid claim here. Whether or not they're going to win with this claim, that's a whole different story. Do I think this case can certainly make it past summary judgment, which, again, just to reiterate for those of you who don't know about some of the legalities in the courtroom, to get past summary judgment, typically what happens in most lawsuits and civil lawsuits, the defendant, one of the favorite weapons that the defendant has is to try to dismiss a suit, a motion to dismiss the lawsuit on a number of things. But what they try to do is get summary judgment so that the case can't even proceed to get to the trial level. Now, all a court needs and all a judge needs to allow a lawsuit to move on in summary judgment is they need a genuine issue of fact. And what that is basically, should these issues be decided by a jury? Is this an issue that, the court is not in any position to make a decision on, because this is something that a group of peers, a jury made up of members of the community, should decide an issue because it's a genuine issue of fact. It's not an issue of law. If it was an issue of law, the judge, who's well-suited to make a decision on that, would just step right in, make a decision, decide if the case is right or ready to go to trial, or decide if it shouldn't even be in court. So I firmly believe that this case, I mean, just on its face, and reading what I've read so far and just my initial analysis, I think it has you know, the potential to get past summary judgment. I think you absolutely have a genuine issue of fact here. I've seen, as I said, I've never played the game. I've seen it played in front of me. I'm familiar with some of the features of the games in my research, and I know that, you know, while EA Sports doesn't provide the actual names, there's no question that the actual players in the games are very similar, or at least their predictions for the coming season are very similar to the actual players in actual college football. You know, if you look at who the best teams are, obviously you got Florida and Alabama and Ohio State, and the reason is because the video game itself and EA Sports made the game to reflect reality, and that is to put the good players on that team, you know, based on reality. So I do think Sam Keller has a legitimate case here. I do think that, you know, these players' images and likeness were used, and if it is indeed a violation of NCAA, then you know, certainly they have the opportunity to recoup millions and millions of dollars. So I will be keeping an eye on this, absolutely. You know, we'll see what we can get out of it. But it appears that we do have a caller on the line here, and we'll get to that caller in just a sec. Because one thing I do want to say, this is Scott Daniels. You know, we're talking on the legal line, and I was supposed to have Bernie Parrish come on earlier, but unfortunately that wasn't supposed to happen. But I believe my man, my special guest man, the CEO of the NFL Draft Bible, appears to be in the house. Rick Saratella, are you with us?
Can I get a hoo-ha?
Rick, how you doing tonight?
Doing very well, Scott. Glad to be on. Was listening to the show prior to coming on. Very interesting case there. A case of if you can't join them, beat them. Instead of join them, Sam Keller, you know, can't get paid in the NFL, and so he is going to take, you know, the NCAA and EA Sports to task, and I think it's a very interesting case, and, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I do know that some of the retired NFL players were also upset at the way they were portrayed in some of the all-time legend teams, and their names were never mentioned either.
Yeah, you know, Rick, that's a great point. I'm actually glad you brought that up. And you know, as you know, unfortunately, Mr. Bernie Parrish was unable to join us tonight. But one of the things that he said to me in our conversations over the last week was we discussed a lawsuit brought on behalf of the retired players against, I believe it was EA Sports, you know, wrongly portraying or actually using the images and likeness you know, improperly, and there was a big verdict for the retired players. Now, I could be wrong on the actual on who that suit was against, but I know it involved a video game company.
I think it was against Madden, EA Sports, and John Madden Football, some of their all-time teams.
Right, and now they were successful in their lawsuit. So it kind of and what Mr. Parrish had actually told me was that they actually had a smoking gun, and they had email communications between the gaming industry and the NFL regarding the use of retired players' info, and that's what really won the lawsuit for them. Now that case, of course, is in the appeals process right now, but from what Mr. Bernie Parrish told me, he basically is very confident, and it's funny that Sam Keller's suit comes out now because it might have set a precedent. So I am glad that you brought that up. But Rick, did you happen to see the story today that Delaware is allowing sports gambling?
I did not.
Well, let me just give you the basic premise. I definitely want to get your feedback. You're one of the better NFL insiders. You know more about the popularity of the NFL than anyone I know. But basically, Delaware has been lobbying to have sports gambling for some time now. And interestingly enough, the NFL, believe it or not, has opposed it. And they've now come out into the public over the past couple weeks in stern opposition to having sports gambling in Delaware. Now, only four states can actually do this. You have Delaware, Montana, Oregon, and obviously Nevada with Las Vegas. So I'm curious to get your feedback as to, you know, why would they oppose something like this when, they, you know, clearly that's the reason that they've become so popular over the years is because of people's ability to gamble on it. So what do you think about this?
Well, I think Commissioner Goodell is definitely getting very good at keeping it close to the vest and being very deceptive as far as what the NFL portrays as their public image and what they privately think internally. I did see something come across the Sports Business Journal, I believe, where Roger Goodell actually issued a letter to Senate or Congress, you know, with the intentions that the NFL would like to see no gambling on the NFL or something to that nature. But let's be honest, the NFL 100% loves the fact that fans gamble on the NFL. Let's be honest, 70 million people tune in to the Super Bowl. There's a good reason why 70 million people don't tune into every single game, and that's because you have all the people getting involved on the Super Bowl day, and I would say that a good 30% of the NFL audience at a minimum watches the NFL because of gambling. And you know why I say Roger Goodell is becoming good at being deceptive? It's the same thing with the London games. You know, publicly the NFL was saying that they're not taking the Super Bowl to London, but internally the NFL would love to take the Super Bowl overseas. So I think that the NFL, especially Commissioner Goodell, does do some things to say to save face sort of publicly, but internally I think the NFL loves the fact that fans do gamble on.
There's no question about that. I mean, let's be honest here. You delete sports gambling, any kind of sports gambling, legally, illegally, whatever it is, you delete that from the picture. And do you think anybody is going to watch Kansas City versus Tampa Bay Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock? I mean, outside of those regions, no one is. But because you have the sports gambling, the popularity is just so massive that people can actually have a personal stake in it. So, yeah, now I agree with you 100%. I think the NFL is really trying to save face here. But, you know, look, the politicians in Delaware managed to pull it off. They were successful in their attempt. And just today, the Senate passed the bill to allow sports gambling, and what it has allowed is people can go into authorized racetracks and place wagers on games. Now, I think there might be one restriction where on college football you might not be able to bet on actual Delaware teams. But other than that, you know, it's a free-for-all. And I don't see why the NFL should oppose it. You know, it's like, are they in bed with the bookies in Las Vegas or something? I don't know why they favor Vegas so much over Delaware. But, you know, it's an interesting story. But, yeah, I mean, Rick, yeah, once again, we're talking to Rick Saratella here, the CEO of the NFL Draft Bible, very good friend of mine and colleague. Rick, any other action going on in the news today?
Yeah, I did see something about the StarCaps StarCaps case, I think, is coming to a close. I received an email about that. I haven't been able to dig into that just yet. You know, here at the NFL Draft Bible, we're getting ready to enter now our third season online, you know, 10th season being around. So we're going to be celebrating the 10-year anniversary at the NFL Draft Bible. A lot of big changes coming and nonstop evolution of the website. And, you know, here on the Legal Line show is just one of many shows on the All Access Football Radio Network that we're going to be spicing up for the upcoming season. And we've added some new shows, and then the Legal Line is one of the originals. So definitely a must listen. And Scott, you know, you do so much plugging for the NFL Draft Bible and All Access Football. I want to make sure that we remind everybody that to check out your Legal Line blog.
That's right. And again, thank you, Rick. You can check that out on NFLDraftBible.com. The blog is called The Legal Line. You know, I got everything from columns to podcasts to whatever your forte is, you want to learn a little bit about the law and sports, yes, you can certainly check that out. Well, Rick, I do appreciate you coming on short notice. I know we were supposed to have my man Bernie Parrish come on, but I think we're going to try to set something up next week. It's always a pleasure, Rick, and good luck with the site in the coming future, and I'll certainly be there to support it all.
Sounds good, Scotty D. Any time and the place to be, my pleasure.
All right, take care, Rick. All right, that was my man, Rick Saratella, CEO of NFL Draft Bible and NFLDraftBible.com. Yeah, and as he said, we got a lot of good stuff going on All Access Football, Blog Talk Radio. We got a ton of shows, and you know, as the season draws to a close, or as the season draws near, we will be doing a lot more analysis, a lot more things going on. So, again, you know, you are listening to here to the Legal Line. My name is Scott Daniels. I'm your host. We are broadcasting live from New York City. This show is brought to you by NFLDraftBible.com. And it was a great show tonight. We only have a couple minutes remaining. Unfortunately, Bernie Parrish, who was supposed to join us, did call me right before. Couldn't make it tonight, but that's all right, because I think we're going to get him on next week. I personally spoke with Mr. Parrish, and he was very excited to come on. Talk about an interesting guy. I mean, you know, again, somebody who played in the league for years, in the 60s. Some would say he played when the game was pure. Now you can see the corporate takeovers, and everything's about dollars and cents and the massive contracts. I mean, he played football at a time when, if our country was going to war, players would go to war and leave football behind, or any professional sport for that matter. But the point I'm trying to make is that Mr. Bernie Parrish was an accomplished individual. Not only did he play in the NFL, but he also wrote an acclaimed book. It was a bestseller. They call it a game. So we're going to try to get Mr. Bernie Parrish on early next week, because I definitely want everybody to hear what he has to say about the reality of the NFL, about some of the things that have been taking place. Very interesting guy. So I'm glad that I have the opportunity to meet with him and to interview him, and hopefully I'll be able to share that information with you when he comes on next week. So, you know, good show today. Listen, I got the opportunity to really break down the Sam Keller lawsuit against EA Sports and the NCAA. You know, got some crazy allegations there. We're alleging conspiracy between NCAA and EA Sports. It's a class action suit, and you know, we're talking thousands of players here that might have a claim. They're seeking to recoup millions of dollars, and you know, guess what? This could set a precedent. I don't think people understand the ramifications here, where if this suit were to be successful, college athletes might be seeing a paycheck upon leaving college, should EA Sports continue to promote their games the way they do. So it's going to be very interesting to see what goes down. And the second thing I really got a chance to talk about was Delaware allowing sports gambling. You know, Rick Saratella dropped by to talk a little bit about it, and you know, it kind of boggles my mind how the NFL is against it. I mean, you know, it's the reason that the NFL has become so popular. I do believe it's a PR move, a total stunt by the NFL. You're not fooling me. You're not fooling you know, anybody with any brain out there in the world. So, you know, you can, the NFL and Roger Goodell and league officials can say they don't want sports gambling, but we all know that's what makes the NFL so popular. So, nice try. Delaware has succeeded. The Senate has passed it. It's only a matter of time till they institute the sports gambling books in those casinos. So, real quick, I did speak a little bit about it earlier. We only have about a minute left. Manny Ramirez and steroids thing. I'll take 2 seconds on this. I'm not really fazed by it one bit. I personally don't care. I don't think anybody is outside the realm of possibility of taking steroids anymore. We've seen the best pitchers in baseball, we've seen the best hitters in baseball all be found guilty of using them, or they've admitted to using them. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me. You know, I don't care. You know, Manny Ramirez, the best thing that could have happened to A-Rod, and all the spotlight on A-Rod was Manny Ramirez. So really doesn't faze me at all. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear a lot more guys come out. You know, it's only a matter of time. I did want to get to the Roger Clemens thing coming out, but we only have about 20 seconds. I'm not even going to get into it. So I'm tired of that story. How about that? I don't even want to say his name anymore. I don't believe him one bit. But, you know, that's that. Hey, every man has his right to speak, freedom of speech, right? But, you know, once again, you've been listening to The Legal Line. We heard from my man Rick Saratella earlier. I want to thank everybody for joining me. And I plan to have a show early next week with Mr. Bernie Parrish. So tune in. Check out the blog, NFLDraftBible.com. Thanks for joining me, and have a good night.